Well, the apartment is trashed.
Is that what happened?
Well, I don't know what Finn was doing earlier, but there was like paper all over the living room from some art project that they were working on that like never got cleaned up. And then the drying rack with the wetsuits is in the living room, and there's sort of laundry at various stages of like cleanliness strewn around. It really looks like, or like a small people frat party happened here.
Right. Yeah, that's funny. They just kind of
Yeah.
did their thing, huh?
Their thing of trash everything in sight. You want to do the burnout topic, or you don't want to do the burnout topic?
I not really. I mean, I was like, yeah, I have that outline I did, and I read through it, and I'm like, this is just dumb. It's just dumb. I just don't. I mean, we can turn it into an episode if we don't have anything else, but.
Let's do a dumb episode. One of the things that I also wanted to talk about a while back that I don't think we ever circled around to was the beach department, like investing in those kinds of experiences that are so good for the family and sort of shaped by our perspective of how we want to parent and prioritize those kinds of experiences.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this woman, non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life than founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
So we are in two different places tonight. Rob is at home in Fresno, and I am at our apartment on the Central Coast in Shell Beach. I think it sounds really glamorous to people when we're like, oh, we have an apartment on the coast. And I guess it is clearly a sign of having some disposable income to invest in a second little place. Although our apartment isn't very glamorous. It is totally a beach apartment. It's has a fine little layer of sand, and it's furniture that we've either gotten from thrift stores or like carried around with us or just sort of accumulated over the years. But this marks what, 3 years, 3.5 years? I think that we have had a little apartment over here near the water.
Yeah, I think it's about 3 years. We did our proof of concept with a little tiny studio place there. It was furnished because we didn't know if we were going to get 2 months in and wanna pull the plug.
Yeah, and the studio was a converted garage. So it was the size of a large garage.
It was a 20 by 20 room, yeah, that included a little kitchenette and the bathroom and a big bed. And so there's almost no floor space. And the boys basically slept right on that little floor space there was.
And it was perfect. So we had that for 6 months, and then we started looking for a bigger place. So one of the things that we wanted to talk about this is because it was a really intentional and clear decision on our part to make this investment and make this a priority for our family. So it's not simply like, oh, we have an apartment on the coast, but it's been something that we have really worked for and toward and really made a priority to have this sort of life where we are very intentional about spending time together in a place that we really find beautiful and is important to us.
And if we didn't have this apartment on the coast, let's say we didn't have the resources to do it, or it just wasn't something we wanted to do, we would probably own an RV or fifth wheel or something, and we would drive back and forth with that, or we would camp. Before we had the beach apartment, we did some camping, but we also would book a hotel 1 or 2 weekends a month in different points of the coast, and we'd find deals and we'd find Airbnbs, and we realized we were doing that so much that this would actually be easier. I mean, it would make it a better experience for everybody because the packing and the unpacking was a big process. And so eventually we realized, wow, this is such a big part of our lives. How do we streamline it? But we're not saying you need to get an apartment on the coast or an apartment XYZ, but it's just the thought process of thinking about the type of happy place and the experiences that you want to have with your family or your significant other or whoever it is, and then figure out how to make those happen as often as you can.
Being at the beach for me is hands down my favorite way to interact with my kids. I have just loved being able to come regularly to a place that I love so much, but also to really enjoy along with my kids. Like, I am on my own a tremendous beach lover. And then to watch my kids enjoy exploring and getting comfortable with the water, sort of figuring out how to navigate the ocean a little bit, spending hours and hours in tide pools and really discovering different kinds of creatures and sea life and learning how to observe. I love that my 5-year-old can like pretty reliably find an octopus in a tide pool. And that's, you know, that's not that easy to do, but he has learned to like notice and observe and kind of work with the ocean and understand the ocean and what lives where and how to find it. So I just feel like the world opens up to them when they are here. When we are here, we don't work unless we have to. I will often do consultation calls if I need to, or sometimes Rob will work. But generally, when we are here, it's sort of like checking into family time or checking into like relaxation time. The apartment is really small. It's pretty simple. We don't keep it fashionably. We just let it be very simple, and we don't spend a lot of time or money on it at all. So it's very utilitarian, which means we don't spend a lot of time doing chores. So when we're here, it's playtime. It's time to be together.
Yeah, and it's a nice second place because of that. I found that sometimes when I'm at home, you just have the angst of there's laundry to do and there are chores to do and there are broken things and there's the whatever, a pump is broken or a light bulb or a doorknob won't turn or whatever. And it just, it kind of grinds on you as you're there. Whereas the apartment, it is something we don't have to maintain. And so when we're there, we can relax a lot more. And I feel it definitely in the two of us, I think in everybody when we get there, because you can see the ocean and that, of course, makes people relax by its nature. But
scientifically proven, by the way.
Is it?
Absolutely. The ocean is good for your mental health.
Yeah, there's something unique about having a second space that is simpler and that is not related to work. Like when we get there, we think about playing games. We do a lot of reading, like all of us. We do reading. We go to the park across the street. We go to the beach. It's just this whole different mindset. I almost have it akin to like when I pick up my laptop, I tend to think about work. And when I pick up my iPad, I tend to think about fun stuff because I tend to watch movies and read, whether it's comic books or Kindle books on it. And I have just this relationship with the devices. They're different. And that's how my home is versus the beach apartment. It is a separate space and I associate different things with it. And so the nice part about that is I instantly, and like we were saying, all of us kind of instantly kick into this. It's like a rest mode. It's not vacation. I guess I think of vacation a little differently because we're always out sightseeing and doing stuff and going to museums and stuff, but it's a very restful mode. And it's great for retreats as such because your mind kind of shifts away from work and can think about, I feel like I can go pretty deep pretty quickly at the apartment.
And I would attribute that maybe less to which device you're using and much more to the way that our life here is very integrated with natural space. There's a really interesting book, one that really shaped the way that I think about the kinds of activities that I want to do with my kids. And I think it's called something like Last Child in the Woods. And it talks a lot about all that is to be gained by like open, unstructured playtime in nature. And when we are here, we do lots of that. We spend hours a day, again, practicing that sort of observation that happens in a tide pool. Our kids practice learning how to read and understand waves. Today, I went for a walk with our 5-year-old and he collected all of these long strands of seaweed and started wrapping them around his body and like tying them together and made this whole like intricate seaweed outfit. And it was fine. Like, it was a little smelly, but like it was fine. He got to be as creative and as exploratory as he wanted to be. And we didn't have to be in an event. And I didn't mind that he was getting all sort of sandy and dirty. And there was no reason to say no. There was just so many reasons to say, yes, go ahead and play with that. Go ahead and poke that. Go ahead and try to tie that together. Go ahead and sort of experiment and explore. And that is my favorite way to parent. It's my favorite way to interact with them. Because it so, I think, equalizes the dynamic when we're all exploring and enjoying nature together.
Yeah, doing it together is a big part of it because I think, I don't know necessarily why it happens, but at our house, I think that we do tend to get caught up doing things separately. Like I will wind up, you know, often making a meal while one of the boys is playing outside and the other one's playing inside. And they're just, it feels like, I guess we have a lot more space. That's probably part of it. We have a lot more space both on the property and in the house itself. But at the beach apartment, if we're there, then we're in a much tighter space. We tend to be around each other. And if we're at the beach, then we're all kind of hanging out together. Not always doing all the same things together, but a lot of times we are. We are all in the water. Like this morning, the four of us boogie boarding for 30 minutes, or we're all building sandcastles. And so there just seems to be more shared active time together when we are at the coast, when we're in this place that we've chosen for this very purpose.
And I think one of the benefits of that, again, in the sort of parent-child dynamic, is that our kids get to see us play. I mean, they get to see us, at least me, I think you too, like really delight in the fun things that we're doing. And I think that is super important for children to see that adult life is not all like schedules and meals and cleaning and laundry and moving things from one place to another. But adult life can also be like really joyful and fun. And I'm glad our kids are getting to see some of that in us, especially in this context.
So I realize that not everybody who's listening is parenting, and not everyone who's listening is an ocean lover or has any interest in, you know, having a second home or maybe spending this much time away from work and productive life. And that's cool. I think, though, that one of the things that I would just encourage people to think about is where is your happy place, and where are the places or situations where you feel most blissful, and are they regularly a part of your life? Is it predictable that you're going to go to Hawaii twice a year, or do you regularly visit that same coffee shop where you just love the way that they do their cappuccino foam and you love that particular seat and they have a great soundtrack going? So finding places that are blissful for you or happy and just integrating them into the rhythm of your life is, I think, the takeaway from this conversation. I also think that there's all this science now that is pretty powerful in making the case for the way that our bodies respond to the natural world. So even taking a walk outdoors for 20 minutes can have some of the same benefit as a low-dose antidepressant. And these ways of finding blissful places and also engaging in the outdoor world are really important to protecting your mental health, preventing burnout, helping life feel interesting and meaningful, and in, you know, creating those lovely endorphins and positive feelings that we all are such fans of.
And there are specific benefits for anyone who has a stressful position. I mean, I think a founder especially can benefit from this. I think of it as almost like, I guess it's, for me, I feel like it's a place where my head clears and where I can get respite from the constant onslaught of thoughts about work and what I'm going to do and how we're going to do it. And I mean, I do sometimes think about that when I'm, you know, in this place at the apartment, but a lot of times it's like I have this different perspective. That's what it is. It's kind of like a mini retreat. You know, once, twice a year when I go on a retreat, I get this amazing perspective where I get this 10,000 foot view of what I'm going through. And when I'm at the apartment or at the beach or the coast, I fall into that. I feel distance enough from work that it doesn't tend to infiltrate me and attack me the same way. I actually feel like I'm able to view it with a different lens and put it into perspective much easier. And I think it's because I think the outdoors, like you're saying, how the research has shown being around the ocean has done that. And I also think it's us being together, the four of us, like gives me perspective of what's important and what's not. It's not that it's work is not important, but what's less important in the actual grand scheme of things. And that's, I think that's powerful and really something that's, I think a lot of us overlook as founders. And I think something that it's an important place to have where you can drop into that frequently enough to keep you from losing perspective permanently or more permanently.
And for us, I don't think we could set it up at our home in quite the same way. The in and out busyness of the week is such that the separateness of the location has been really important. And it does get tricky. It doesn't come without sacrifices. So it's obviously time, energy, finances, resources that we invest in having the apartment. It also has meant that we don't do a lot of weekend activities. You know, our kids aren't in sports that require them to be there every weekend. And we have to be really sort of careful about what we commit to in terms of other ongoing activities that take place on the weekend. And so I don't know that it will work forever as our kids get older. If one of them wants to play soccer or whatever, then we'll try to support them and make that happen. It has been wonderful to share it with people. We've hosted a lot of people here and love to share our kind of happy place with our friends. But it does take us out of some social events on the weekends. And again, we don't come every weekend. We probably come every 2 weekends a month, every other week, roughly. And obviously, that's always adjustable. So there are major benefits and there are some big sacrifices. But all in all, it, again, is just such a blissful, lovely way to experience the world and to have a relationship with a place that you're just here because you love it here and you're choosing to be here. And it is kind of soothing to the soul and blissful and happy for everyone in the family.
Yeah. And so, I mean, if you don't have this place, you've called it essentially a happy place, but I think of it as like this restful place where you can physically be in a different location than your house. And so, like you said, maybe it is that coffee shop where, you know, your work people don't find you, or you don't think about work there. Or if it's camping somewhere that's an hour or two away, or walking through the forest, or taking a hike up to a mountain. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do it. It doesn't have to be something that costs a lot of money or that requires a lot of sacrifice. I just think there's a need to be deliberate about it.
Be deliberate about your happy place. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com. Used under Creative Commons.